To protect the sheep, you must catch the wolf. And it takes a wolf to catch a wolf. You understand? What? I said, you protect the sheep by killing the motherfucking wolf. I heard you. No, you ain't hear me. You listening, but you ain't hear me. They should make another training day, Will. I miss that shit. Make it training day two, or training day orientation. And it's like, Hoyt is running for office or some shit on the basis of getting rid of police corruption. And he's did his best to clean up the streets, you know what I'm saying? The streets like him, they respect him and stuff like that. But the corrupt cops, they want to come after him. So the training day aspect of it comes in where he has to teach, you know, the hood niggas, the ways of the NYPD to maximize his protection. Training day two, orientation. What you think about it?
Freestyle Friday. No matter who it is, they're listening. 100%. Right? I've been in my lab where you can't bring any kind of listening devices, electronic devices, you know what I'm saying? In there. Secure environment. Yeah, it's a secure environment, but it's not. Right. Because sometimes I just go around talking about random ass shit that I'd never mentioned in my real life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I make sure I'm around. I've been to the point where I've been around someone else's computer, so I know they know my voice. I've been around someone else's computer, absolutely, speaking, don't mention it at my computer, and then I leave work within a day or so. I might be on Facebook, right, and that shit pops up in my feed,
oh, yeah,
whatever I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And that tells me that even though we're not allowed to have cell phones, listening devices, can't bring in headphones, no Bluetooth, no nothing, you know what I'm saying? But the real compromise is those Windows computers that's sitting on our desk.
For sure.
Yeah, so
these operating systems in general. So, I mean, I went through a phase where, like, with Windows especially, I mean, it's just very easy to use. You know, it's graphically user interface.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simplified.
Right.
So it's very easy for people to use. But, like, I went through a phase where I was just using Linux for a long, mm-hmm, time. And I wasn't able to do certain things because there were certain things that wasn't compatible with Windows systems and Linux.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that. You know, yep, what I mean? They want to keep it that way. They, mm-hmm, want you to be on Windows for a reason. Which I always found the name of the operating system to be very interesting. Just the idea of Windows is, like, it's a window, right? But it's a screen. It's,
mm-hmm,
a digital screen. And then if you look, you know, I have my desk the way it's set up. Like, I'm right next to my window. It's like, I look, mm-hmm, outside and I was like, oh, okay. This is a window.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, this is a window. This is the real one.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, like, computers are funny, man. Technology has been great, but it's been a blessing and a curse. And that's, mm-hmm, not really anything in life. You know, it's all about perspective. But to some extent, any gift that we get can be used against us or for us.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those situations where we have become, as a people, we're a commodity now.
Commodity.
We, all of us. Mm-hmm. The consumerism, mm-hmm, like, that's the new American pastime. Screw baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It's buying shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what it is, for real.
That is the new pastime, is buying stuff. You, when you're born, you're assigned a number.
Yep.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a little weird. Like, and then we wonder why we end up in these jobs where we feel like we're being treated like a number.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's the over.
That's what you are.
Right? This is, mm-hmm, just a symptom. This is just one component of this system of systems,
mm-hmm,
that we're involved in right at this point. We're just numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And they want money from us.
Yeah.
And they want to keep lining their pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the purchasing power comes into play. That's where the power of the dollar comes into play. And if you get more mindful about it and you start putting your money and resources into other things to up in the system, you'd be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, the type of community that fosters, what you can actually get in terms of, like, life satisfaction. That you don't have to spend your life buying all this you don't need.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like, you can have just, I'm starting to prescribe to, like, this minimalist lifestyle, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, it's just stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, J. Cole is someone that really kind of resonates with me a lot. And he says a lot of things, man. And one of the things he was talking about, like, during an interview was just the idea is, like, yeah, I got watches and I got chains and everything like that. And this is, like, but like, there's just a thing. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, as soon as I buy this, like, like you buy a car, it mm-hmm. depreciates immediately as soon as you take it off the lot, even if you haven't driven it yet.
Go buy a diamond.
You know what I'm saying?
Walk out the store and turn around, walk back in the store and resell that diamond.
Exactly.
You'll find out.
Period. It appreciates. So
a diamond is only worth something when it's in the store being sold to you.
Bingo. Exactly. And that's the whole trick, man. That's the whole scam that they got us in right now. And so, yeah, like the idea of listening in on us,
mm-hmm.
they want to know what we're thinking. So they know what to put in front of us so that we can continue spending our money and not putting our resources in where they need to be placed.
You know, I have a show at least once a year where we go deep into basically they're listening to you. Like, it's basically a, hey, do you understand how much information that you're giving to these people? Because everybody says, no, it doesn't matter. The information that we're getting from these people, we don't make anything off of it because it's not that much information. Man, they got it to the point now where they know everyone. With you could get three pieces of information about someone, as long as one of those pieces is your zip code,
right?
They know exactly who you are.
Oh yeah.
Zip code, car you drive, and sex.
Oh yeah.
That's they know exactly who you are.
Period.
Yeah. And they know most of our voices now.
Oh, 100%. Oh god, if you think otherwise, mm-hmm. you're naive. You know what I mean?
And I try to put in real world perspective now. Like there's places you can go and get up to 20 cents off per gallon, or I forgot how it goes, like Spinks, right?
Right.
You can go to Spinks and you can get, you can actually get, if you're buying the right stuff, yeah. you can get your, I've did it during the pandemic, you can get your gas for free
yeah.
for 20 gallons, right? right? So just imagine how much they're selling your data for.
Oh, exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh,
if
yeah,
you can exactly. get up to about $65 off on a pump of gas, and they expect you to pump your gas once to twice a week.
Right.
So if you get up to $65 of free gas in 1 week, how much money do you think they're making off you? Because the business plan is always to double or triple. So, yeah, I just tell people, like, in real world, think about that shit, right? Yeah. Yeah. So whenever you got to be conscious of the data that you give to them.
Okay.
There's news that come out now, like your car could tell, if someone buys the information, your car could tell them
right.
when you have sex and how often you have sex. Right. Because they're reading off your smartwatches
right.
when your the patterns of your heartbeat raising.
Right, absolutely.
10, yeah, 15 absolutely. Minutes.
Bio-tracking.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, yeah, all that shit. All that shit coming in.
They got profiles
on
all of them.
So, and I'm a big component of EVs, right?
Yeah.
But the news done came out that, like, as of 2024, all models does all that tracking now. So what I want to do is I have two older cars. I'm freeing up money. I'm getting rid of the cars in my yard. And I want an old Avalanche because they're like the new Silverados,
right.
the EV Silverados. And I want to find a donor Silverado and basically turn my old Avalanche into a Silverado.
Gotcha.
I want to tear out all the radio and all that stuff, old radio stuff.
Yeah.
And just basically replace that shit, like, put an iPad in that bitch and have that run my radio system and all that stuff. Like, even though the iPads and stuff, they listen and all that stuff, too. But I want it simple. I want the old shit.
Right.
And I'd rather upgrade what I want from my old shit
yeah.
to the point of where I feel comfortable with the data being given out. Because, like, even like the new BMWs where you got to pay $35 a month for heated seats.
Yeah.
Like, you just bought a BMW.
I didn't realize all that.
You just bought a $100,000 car. $150,000 you might have paid for the car. But now you got a monthly service you got to do.
You got to subscription for your heated seats. That's something. What?
Pro Tools, getting away from Pro Tools because why am I going to play for the cloud? Like, why are we subscribing? Yeah, like, why? Yeah. They want your shit in the cloud because they don't want you to own it. If you can't physically touch something, you don't own it. You just have access to it. Yeah.
Money flow to them. Yeah. That's cash flow. That's all it is. Now, I think you mentioned something about the us being, you know, our data being worth something, man, and it is. You'd be surprised how many of these companies have third-party agreements with other places, and they tell you about it, too. Mm-hmm. As you're signing up for stuff, you know what I mean?
I'm not surprised, though.
They even say, like, you can try to opt out of this, but there's certain things you can't opt out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just willing and dealing us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're currents, you know what I mean? Like, right. Just another, like, it's wild to me. Like, literally, data is a business now. And so you got to be super aware of that and recognize that for what it is. I'll tell you another thing, man. Like, so Amazon's got warehouses everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it. What they'll do is they'll look at your browsing history, and they will pre-ship some of the items that you're looking at to these warehouses.
In that area.
You get what I'm saying? And then now all of a sudden it's like, oh, same day delivery.
Same day. Next day delivery.
You know what? I want that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, man. What they're doing is they're relying on our reward system that they've reprogrammed. So through advertisement, through media, through everything, bro, they've reprogrammed our reward systems to this instant gratification. We want instant gratification. We need it now.
Mm-hmm.
And they cater to that.
Yeah.
And we eat that shit.
Yeah.
We eat that shit.
And that was part of my change, man. I had to flip from that, man. I cannot.
I don't blame you, man.
Just because, like me, I still go to the grocery store and shop. My wife doesn't.
Yeah.
I still go to the grocery store and shop because I want to see what I'm buying. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose the ability to tell if a fruit is fresh or not.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose that.
Right. Farmers markets, man.
I need to see people.
Get that local stuff.
Yeah. I do that too. I need to see people. Nah, it's cool. It's cool. It's a conversation, man.
Yeah.
I need to see people. I shake hands.
Right.
Like my kids are always like, "Daddy, you know so many people. I don't know these motherfuckers."
Right. Right.
I'm just having conversations with them, but I don't know them. I smile and I talk and everything. Like, people don't get that these days. Online dating services. I was only free. For about 2 or 3 years when online dating became like the thing.
Right.
Nah, I couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I gonna try to talk to you on the internet?
And here's my thing with that, man, is what the internet has allowed us to do is we are able to curate our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to paint a picture and a perception of what we are to other people.
Right.
And that's why to me, like, internet dating is some of the most dishonest disingenuous type of human interaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, any social media interaction, to be honest with you, seems to be very kind of disingenuous. Unless you actually connect with these people.
Right.
On a daily, not necessarily daily basis, but you know them in real life. They don't care. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those weird things, man, where you created a society of just, like, everyone thinks they're a celebrity. Everyone thinks that they're hot shit.
Yeah.
It's inflated egos.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's like, the longer you continue to fall in those cycles, not to suggest that there's no benefits at all to social media.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it has gift and a curse.
Gift and a curse. Mean? Every time, yeah.
Like, so it's just about how you treat it, but you have to understand what it is. And if you don't understand what it is, you can very easily get caught up in it. And get caught up in that addiction.
Yeah.
Because it becomes an addiction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's why I really respect you for flipping over, literally flipping over. You know what I mean? Like, real talk.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people, they're not willing to do that because their lives are based upon the tracking devices that they got on. You know what I mean?
And I love that in the beginning, man. The reason why I went to, it was Droid that I went to first, was because, first of all, I couldn't afford a Droid. And this was while I was in college, and I was like, "Ooh, this is something I could keep working on. I could customize it for myself and everything."
Right.
And then the first burnout happened, where I was like, "Oh, fuck that shit, man! Like, I work on computers all day. I don't want to have to work on my phone." So I switched to iPhone because iPhone is basically plug and play.
Yeah.
I was comfortable with that for a while, and then it just became like, I was cutting grass, man. This is when it dawned on me. I was fucked up. I was cutting grass. I'm on my riding lawnmower, and the podcast that I was listening to went off. And I stopped the lawnmower, opened my phone up, the switch to my new podcast, whatever I was gonna listen to next.
Yeah.
It was like 30 minutes later, I'm just sitting there in the sun, hot as fuck.
Right.
Because I was like, ooh, Facebook. And I closed down. Ooh, let me go to Instagram real quick.
Yeah.
I closed down.
Yeah.
Ah, TikTok.
Yeah.
And then that thing, it was 30 minutes later, I'm sweating like a motherfucker because I'm in the sun. And I'm just sitting there like, I could be done cutting grass tonight right now, but I just got caught up in my phone. And I was like, man, fuck that. Another thing is when I go shit, my shit went from 15 minutes to 45 minutes to an hour because I'd be on that phone like. And then I got to put the phone down.
Wipe your ass.
Yeah, wipe my ass. And then can't touch the phone again, go clean, wash my hands and stuff, then wipe my phone down and shit like that. But yeah, it was just like, you know what? That 45 minutes to an hour, that's me just sitting my ass down when I could be up walking around doing shit. And then that 30 minutes I just spent on my tractor, like, that shit, I was about to say, that shit gay as hell too, but you can't talk like that in 2024. Yeah, there. Like, yeah. Oh, you calling you gay bashing?
Words are powerful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, man. So that's kind of what did it right there. Like that's when I realized, oh shit, they got me.
Yep.
And I was like, I got to get my shit back. Yes. I need to learn sobriety. Need to learn patience.
Yep.
Restraint.
Yes.
Like,
self-control.
Yeah, self control. Mm-hmm. And I don't do drugs because I like to be in control. Like, when I drink alcohol,
yeah.
I'm a sipper. You're yeah. not going to see me going to get fucked up.
Right.
I'm not going to get white boy wasted.
Period.
Because and, but I'm losing control over my own social media presence because I'm always on that shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yeah, got to get that going.
It's addiction is a weird thing, man. Like, and because there's so many ways to get addicted nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like alcohol, drugs. I mean, again, you could even suggest that love itself is mm-hmm. addictive, which is always an interesting concept to me. And traditionally what people have
to I don't mind being addicted to eating pussy though.
That may be a good addiction, but that could bite you in the ass, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I mean, I like to nibble on her ass.
You get what I'm saying? You get some of that clam chowder or something, you get what I'm saying? Like, you get
oh yeah.
Pussy. I don't mm-hmm. know, you know, like you kind of fuck the life after that.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like,
I need to go get some tartar sauce for this. I feel you.
No, it's one of the things that, man, like with addictions, though, and again, I hate to go back to Cole, but there's a little snippet video that I watch to myself all the time, man. It's like, no matter what you're chasing, like, whatever you're chasing,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have enough of it. If it's success you're chasing, you're never going to have enough of it.
Right.
If it's girls you want, you're never going to have enough of them. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the problem with people is we're always worrying about what we don't have instead of looking at what we got.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Like, God has blessed you, or spirit, universe, however you want to view it, whatever you want to call it, has blessed you, but you are so blinded
mm-hmm.
by this matrix that you don't know what you're blessed with. And so then you end up being spiteful. You end up, you get all these low vibrations wishing you had what these other motherfuckers
have. Right.
And don't get me wrong, like it's, I can't, again, all we have is reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Back to that whole idea. But, like, you see some of the stuff on social media, and it's, yeah, a bunch of people posting all the things they got. Look at this nice watch I got. Look at the car I got. Look at the shoes I got.
Mm-hmm.
I got the latest drops. You know what I mean? And it's just like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Does that actually make you happy, though? Like, why you feel like you got to post that for everybody?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, are you feeling a little bit
insecure? I got caught up in that, too.
Yeah.
But it was different. Like, I got caught up in that because it was like, I grew up like a nerd. So, it was like, maybe some people are not following me or listening to the things that I do because I don't show them that I can afford this stuff like all the other rappers. So I was doing that just to say, you guys know me. The things that I say and the things that I do, like this whole the whole Drake thing. I'm using Drake right now because it's the thing that the most recent thing. Of something that I have been talking about for a long time. And it came into fruition when a famous person said it. You know what I'm saying? But even the people in my circle, they've been hearing me say shit like that for years. Oh, they yeah. know that I've been in places. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And it just rolls over them. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, you be tripping. I tell them something might happen. or if I predict something, right. I say I know for a fact people are going to be podcasting, right? Yeah. Black podcasters, right? I started podcasting in 2016, right. And I was like, podcasting gonna be like some shit in about 5 years. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then it blew up, but like the people that were listening to me as podcasters is middle of America, and I'm looking at my screen, middle of America, New York, Atlanta, France, Norway.
Right.
Nobody from Bay Spur, Leesville, South Carolina.
Period.
The people I grew up with. No, I'm sorry, zero. No, I'm saying so.
A lot that goes with that, man. You hear about it all the time. Weezy, Boosie, like a lot of these guys that came up, the first thing they do is get the fuck out of their mm-hmm. home city, because it'd be your home city.
Yeah.
They hate on you the most.
Yeah.
They don't know how to show local love.
Mm-hmm.
They hate you, bro. You get what I'm saying? If you see any type of success, they're like, why isn't it me?
Right.
Why isn't it me? Instead of doing the self work again, the introspection.
It's gonna be me. That's an NSYNC song, right?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, instead of like looking at themselves and being like, all right, what do I need to do to become the best version of me,
mm-hmm.
so that I can resonate, I can vibe at a certain level to where I can incur these blessings. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because we all got purpose. But the problem is everyone thinks that someone else's purpose is their purpose.
Right.
Or, you get what I'm saying? Everyone's trying to switch roles. And mm-hmm. whenever they don't get that, there's just this deep level of hatred, mm-hmm. jealousy, or envy. And these are all just awful, awful feelings to have. But it's just like, you're doing that to yourself.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, this person being successful, like, why? You get what I'm saying? Like, you're so focused on other mm-hmm. people's successes. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some people that don't deserve success. 100%.
Yeah.
There are certain systems in place. They don't deserve it necessarily, I feel like. You know what I mean? And what happens is, I don't want to say that. Everyone deserves success. But let me take that back. Everyone deserves success and peace in their life, period.
I think everybody deserves peace.
But for,
I think everyone can be successful.
Right.
They just look at the wrong thing as itself.
Exactly, yes.
Case in point, right? I have two sisters that showed me this. One's a Hebrew Israelite. One's a Rastafarian. 12 tribe. So they both taught me the same lessons, right?
Right.
As people that follow me know, I have a family. Like, I'm successful when other people look at me and what I have and compare themselves to me.
Right.
Like, I don't look at that as my worth, though.
Right.
Like, you're gonna hear me say I have a whole bunch of acres.
Right.
You're gonna hear me say my house is huge.
Right.
I have like 6-7 cars.
Right.
I have like motorcycles. I have all this stuff. So, but that's not what I equate as success. I like riding motorcycles, so that's why I got two. I never rode motorcycles because they was cool. I rode motorcycles because you get more miles per gallon on motorcycles, right? My house is big because I don't like people on top of me. Like, I have land so that I can build a farm.
Absolutely.
Eventually. You know what I'm saying? Have a whole solar farm and a regular farm.
Right.
My sisters taught me that we are born with all we need in life, right? The only thing you need more
Preach.
Is four walls and a roof
Preach.
And a way to eat.
Preach.
So if everybody wasn't so concerned about let me go spend, like the biggest trend in today's society and my culture is, how much can I get a man to spend on me for dinner?
You
know what I'm saying? If he had a farm, if you have a farm, you can go pick your food up.
Period.
You don't even know where that food come from.
Period.
Like,
you don't know someone spinning it.
I grew up right around the corner from a chicken farm, right? So in the 90s, I used to see all these chicken trucks come in, and you hear the birds in the back, flap, 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 they trying to get away, because we would always make a joke like, oh, they know they about to go get it. They about to go get their heads took off.
Yep.
So they was very alive in the back of the 18-wheeler, the little cages, about 25 to a cage. They flying around in the cage and shit, feathers flying everywhere because they're trying to get away. I think it was last year, though.
Yeah.
I was in my hometown, and a chicken truck pulled up beside me. And I walk outside. I'm putting on my helmet and stuff because I'm about to ride. I was going to Atlanta, but I just stopped in my hometown to get some gas, stretch out and shit like that. So I look up and I see a chicken truck But it's different now. Like, there were still about 25 chickens to a cage, but they none of them was moving. All of them was fat as hell. They wasn't even quacking. They were just dumb as fuck. We're talking about a 30-year difference, 20 to 30-year difference, depending on what part of the 90s we're looking at. That shit is scary.
Yeah.
That is the difference in the way they treat those chickens, the difference in the way they feed those chickens.
Yeah.
Those chickens now are too big to move. Yeah. That's the shit that you're eating and putting in your body.
Oh, absolutely.
But we're concerned about how much a man will spend on their woman in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. So we concern ourselves with the wrong thing. You born with everything you need in your life. You can go buy some chickens. You can. Let's say one person is successful in your family to the point where, and I'm saying it like this because, like, in my circumstance, I grew up super poor. My lineage is Adams Carter. So if you look up the history of Adams and Carters in South Carolina, you'll find out that that family ate after the Civil War for a while. We grew up on a farm, a plantation that was basically owned by a woman called the Snake Lady. They was quarter bombs, white quarter bombs that lived in South Carolina. They gave wealth to all their slaves when they freed them.
Gotcha.
So we did not come from poor. We didn't come from the same struggle. Well, we had the same struggles in slavery. We had a head start.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But the system knew how to take care of that. South Carolina instituted black laws, along with Alabama and Missouri and stuff like that. So through that, one of my uncles, I was debating on whether to say his name or not. I'm not going to say his name. But one of my uncles in the 70s was like the richest black man in South Carolina.
Right.
We have money. We have pictures. Right. And I'm just going to leave it there. We had pictures in the early 1900s, late 1800s. You know how much money you had to have to have pictures?
Right.
This is when you had to sit down for 30 minutes and not move. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is back when black people were scared to take pictures because they thought that flash would take your soul.
Absolutely.
We had pictures. I know what my great grandma, my great great grandma, I know what all of them motherfuckers look like.
Yeah.
Because we had pictures. Right. Like, so we didn't grow up poor. However, Willie Lynch and the Black Laws, all that combined together. Black people hating on each other, family members hating on each other, keeping secrets in the family. Like, I have, from my mama's generation, her cousins, and I'm saying this because it was two women that raised them. My grandma died when my mama was 7. So my grandma's sisters raised my mom, my mom's 8 kids. I mean, my grandma had 8 kids, I think. Her 2 sisters and my great grandma raised my mom and the other 7 kids,
right,
along with all of their kids. So we're talking about between in my mom's generation, somewhere around 15 to 17 kids, right? About half of those was girls, and about half of those, that generation, was raped by multiple men because those women, and it wasn't just my parents, my mom and my siblings, which was their nieces and nephews and stuff like that. They didn't really give a shit about none of the kids,
right,
because they always blamed it on the kids, mm-hmm, right? And then generational, right? So those kids was raped, they had kids, and those kids grew up around the same aunts because those the other kids was too young to actually take care of their kids. So it was the babies raising babies, the babies leaving the babies with their moms to go off and work, to go to school, to go do things that people in 19, 20 year olds would be doing in order to go on our life. And those kids is rape. So I used to joke about it, and then but when I realized, oh shit, that's fucked up. I have a cousin who at the age of 24 was a grandmama.
Shit. Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And I've never seen, she got, and I'm gonna call it what it is, she was statutorily raped at the age of 12. And the guy that statutorily raped her went off into the military. Now, I can't remember the story correctly if he was at home on leave from the military when he did that and then went back, or if he was in high school or a little bit older than her, did that, and then went off into the military. I can't remember that story correctly, but I think he was on leave from the military, which means he's old as fuck.
Right.
Now, she had a baby. The baby was a girl. The girl grew up at the age of 13. Her uncle's friend statutorily raped her, and she had a baby. The uncle's friend was 22 years old. Now, at this time, I'm about 15 years old, and I'm like, are we going to kill him? Like, let's go. That, and the guy's my cousin.
Right.
Like, I'm from a small town.
Right.
So, the other guy was my cousin. I was ready to go kill that motherfucker. Like, at 15, because that's what you're supposed to do. I've always thought that shit was fucked up.
Right.
But growing up in a small town, you hear words like, if the grass on the field, you could cut it. You know what I'm saying? If she wanted, give it to her. Like, that's the shit I used to hear growing up. It never settled right to me, to the point where when I saw the R. Kelly video, I was 17 years old, and that little girl he peed on, I was like, that girl young as fuck. Like, I'm 17, she too young for me, this dude 30. Like, so it is, generationally, things happen, you know what I'm saying? And going all the way back to the beginning, you only need four walls.
Right.
So I grew up poor. We grew up where the family went through a generation of, like, three generations in a row, just curse, 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 to the point where by the time my mom was the black sheep of the family, and I was the black sheep of my mom's family. Yep. So it was like black sheep, black sheep. Yep. We was broke as hell. So I said, hey, I got to go make money. No, I'm to the point now where I'm like, okay, I'm good. I have enough right now to where all I got to do is maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
My kids, I could go four or five generations
off
of what I have now. We rewrite this for my family, right? So, and I learned that from my two sisters.
Yeah.
Like, you are put on this earth, you only need a certain amount of resources.
Precisely.
Keep your footprint small, and you don't have to run behind everything like everybody else.
Right.
Like, being a six-figure nigga, right? I don't need to make a six figures forever.
Right.
Like, I just need to make six figures long enough to pay off everything I have in debt. And then I'm going to go sell fruit from my from my farm and pay my taxes every year. Like, that's all I need to do. Like, I don't, everybody's like, you plan on retiring at 55? Yes, I plan on retiring at 55.
Oh, yeah.
How much money do you need to retire at 55? You're looking at it wrong. My bills need to be at zero by the time I'm at 55.
Let's go. Yep, let's go.
All I need to do is pay taxes and maintain taxes. I don't need six figures. I could make $14,000 a year and pay my taxes. If I got a farm in the back,
absolutely,
I go eat.
Yep.
If I got chickens over there, I go eat. I got a fishing pole, I go eat.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Sustainable.
You don't need all of that. Yeah.
Exactly.
I've always, from the point where I was about 13 years old, the first time I heard about solar power, I said, there's a way that we can have power and not have to pay a government entity. There's a way that we can get water out of the ground and not have to pay for sewage and water.
Ain't no don't tell them what they put in the water either. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
why do we have these big sewer systems? Because they trained you to think that you need that shit. Oh, man, well water's so bad for you. Not really. Like,
right.
It might be full of sulfur. It might stink. We have technology. Like, you have filters. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to build a filter that, yeah. You have filters everywhere. You can filter that shit down. Mm-hmm. And everybody's, why do you think, oh, man, it costs so much energy to make, like, you're doing worse on Earth to get the batteries made because you're killing Africa than you will be buying oil. Well, let me tell you something a little bit about oil, the way oil is. You see people with bad knees? Well, why are their knees bad? Because the cartilage has been worn out. So that little buffer they had between bone and bone is gone. And what they do with those people, they don't say, nah, just use more of that cartilage. No, they don't. They say, let's fix that, put more cartilage in there.
Right.
Let's try to save what's there. Let's try an alternate way to do things.
Yeah.
So the oil and all that stuff has been keeping the earth from quaking. Like, it's part of our environment. It needs to be in the ground for a reason.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But we're taking this. The earth, Mother Nature corrects itself.
Oh, yeah.
Like, please. Continuously corrects itself. It's going to continuously correct itself. And we're in the point now where we're like, let's not destroy Africa so that we can destroy Africa a whole different way. Like, nah, we found a way to get an infinite resource, right? I mean, if you don't want to do it that way, we could build fans.
Yeah.
Like, I went through the middle of America where at nighttime, where it scared the fuck out of me, all these big ass fans, because I have agoraphobia, so big shit scares me. So I'm driving my RV through the middle of America, and there's planes and planes and planes of just big-ass fans rotating to create energy,
right?
Solar panels, right? But you have to dig and get the resources out the ground. But we're smart enough to be able to recycle that stuff.
Right.
Like, we can, between all the channels, you can take water and turn it around a turbine to make energy.
Absolutely.
Like, but we can have free energy. Why are we running down the path to pay for energy when you can have it free?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, and we just let people tell us what we think are right instead of thinking for ourselves.
That's the key with all this, man.
So,
is, again, like I was saying earlier, like, while we're having this world's reactions, right? And unfortunately, thinking, to me, it shouldn't necessarily be a reaction. Like, you
mm-hmm.
should be constantly looking at a situation. I mean, how can I be proactive about this?
Right.
How can I get ahead of this?
Mm-hmm.
This is the way it is. One thing I always say is, like, it is what it is, so it isn't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? And, like, if people, like, because people like to say that first part, and they mm-hmm. like to say the second part.
Right.
It is what it is.
Until it isn't anymore.
That's a fucking cop out. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, this is my language. That's a cop out.
Oh, we curse here.
Okay. Cool. But, you get what I'm saying? Like, you are telling yourself that this is the way it is,
mm-hmm.
and this is how it has to be.
Right.
No.
It doesn't.
You have the power to do something, mm-hmm. but you are so caught up in mental blocks because of whatever it is, you know, whatever society has told you you're incapable of doing, whatever your mom and dad told you you weren't able to do anything,
mm-hmm.
whatever the case may be, you have these mental blocks that allows you to be a victim of a system instead of championing your own cause, instead of realizing that if you take a second and you use this beautiful thing that we have up here,
mm-hmm.
you can figure a lot of shit out and get ahead of the game.
Right.
And get yourself ahead and get your family ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things you mentioned was just the idea of generational curses, man. Like, I can't suggest that our generational curses on my side has been anywhere near to the brutality that you described
mm-hmm.
With your situation. But, like, there were a lot of things that I just recently woke up to in the last few months. You and I talked about this. But just the way, like, my parents were and how that allowed me to, allowed myself to settle for certain types of relationships because that's all I knew.
Right.
Right? Because people like to use the word love.
And mm-hmm.
I always find the word love to be very interesting. You know what I mean? It's very subjective.
Mm-hmm.
But the concept with it is this, like, you know, it's very transactional nowadays. What can you do for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Now I love you. And it's just like, that's not how it's supposed to be. Like, right. I come from the mindset of unconditional love. That's why I like pets. Because dogs, cats, they ain't gonna lie to you, bro. You get what I'm saying? You feed them and stuff, they ain't gonna love you unless they know you love them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times, you don't even necessarily have to love them. They're still gonna be your companion. The dog, loyal companion. Your man's best friend.
Right.
And they pick up on vibes. So they know what time it is, which whether or not if you actually like them or not. You get what I'm saying? And that's the thing. Like, we are all creatures and we are mammals. So, like, we're able to kind of do that. But, like, I'm going off on another tangent. But, but that kind of goes back into, like, you know, my mom and my dad's situation where it was very conditional love. It was all based upon what I can get out of the situation. My dad wanted sex. He was the sex.
From you? No. Oh, I was about to say, wow. Sexual deviant. No, yeah, I get it.
Of the mindset. Probably getting mad, whatever, if he ever watches this, but he was a sexual deviant, and the reason I knew that is because there was a situation where me and him were driving one day, and it was on a road trip, and the way he was talking about, like, cheating on my mom, bro, it seemed like he was proud of it, and, like, he didn't realize I was peeping game, you know what I'm saying? Like, you talking about my mom right now, bro, the person that you say you love, that literally lifts hand and foot for you every single day, you're dismissing her and making it seem like I'm one of your little frat buddies, right, now. You chopping it up, and we're talking, well, ha-ha, we got over on the woman. Like, no, you did a really good woman an awful type of way, a foul type of way. You get what I'm saying? It's like, he didn't see that for what it was. You know, my mom had her own issues, you know what I mean? Again, it's all, they talk about love languages and stuff like that, man. I kind of resonate with some of that, but, like, love is legit a feeling. And you can sit here and tell yourself that you love somebody, but your body knows. You get what I'm saying? Your mind knows. It's going to constantly remind you that this ain't the case. You actually love this person. You say you do. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Because, like, again, it's all, and at that point, that's when the love devolves into a transactional system. As soon as I stop getting something out of you, I don't love you no more. And that's the shitty part about it. You know what I mean? So I had to realize that with me and my son's mother was just like, it was getting to a point where I was almost like, not necessarily acting like my dad, but like I was showing unconditional love. But I never, like, necessarily felt that back. You know what I mean? Like, she, not getting too much details, but it was on and off situation going on and everything like that. And I was always kind of willing to put things aside, even though I shouldn't have. You know what I mean? And that caused friction in the relationship. You know what I mean? My own insecurities, my own loss of self, things like that. Being very, very kind of uncomfortable with myself because of what I thought I was supposed to be receiving. And it was never, you know what I mean? It was never on that level. It wasn't because, and this is what I'm saying, it's like, it sounds very kind of victim mentality, but it's not coming from that place at all. It was just a simple fact that we're not compatible. And that's okay. You know what I mean? You're not going to vibe with everybody.
Right.
And the longer you, again, try to force that shit, it's going to slap you in the face.
Right.
You're
going to pass. I'm focused on that finish line. Developing a strong mind. Years ago, they stopped making my kind. Yeah, I lose sleep, but it's alright, cause I'm on the grind.